Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ArtCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, trying to fill those empty spaces in your day with useful information. Yeah, you know, like when you're commuting, when you're standing on the train or riding on a bus and going somewhere and you're thinking, this is a complete waste of time. But no more, because you can fill that time, that void, that empty space in your life with some useful education as you listen in while I discuss all kinds of interesting ideas with people like Paul Knopf. Paul is an architect for the ERP outfit, and so we had a little chat at the Spark Conference in Las Vegas where we just kind of began brainstorming some thoughts about how information and Web 2.0 and ERP all align. So let's welcome Paul Knopf. Well, this is Ron Jacobs again, and I'm back at the Spark Conference here in the wonderful Venetian Hotel here in Las Vegas. So, and I'm joined by Paul Knopf. And Paul, what do you think about the Venetian?
It's an amazing hotel, a little piece of Italy in the middle of Las Vegas. And Las Vegas always amazes me. From my hotel room window, I see the Eiffel Tower. So I'm sitting in Venice looking at the Eiffel Tower in the middle of the desert.
And, yeah, and across the street is the Treasure Island where they have the which is where I happen to be staying because I couldn't get a room here. It was booked. But last night, outside my window, they got this whole full-scale battle going on with pirate ships and stuff.
Yep,
and
yep. It's great. It's a fascinating city.
It's bizarre. And when I went walking up where they have actually the canals here in the hotel, and it's just amazing. It feels like you're in this outside in Venice.
Yep. And I thought about taking a gondola ride, but without my wife, it just wouldn't be wouldn't be the thing to do. So I decided to pass this trip.
That's right. Yeah. So, Paul, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I work for an ERP company, and I am the chief architect for the company.
Okay.
I have some incredibly talented and amazing people working with me. And what we do is, take an application that's grown up over 25 years and make sure that it is future-proof, in other words, appealing to new customers. And at the same token, we have to architect it in such a way that our install base will accept the changes that we do in the application.
Wow. So it's now that's got to be some interesting challenges because, you know, like we were talking yesterday and you were saying something like ERP is this old kind of crusty idea that's been around for a long time. And so it must be hard to innovate architecturally in the space of ERP, or is it?
Well, one of the things when you're dealing with an ERP is it's, of course, millions and millions and millions of lines of code.
Uh-huh.
And an ERP is a system that's very interactive. Everything works with everything else. Information flows from one corner of it to the next. So when you want to make architectural changes to an ERP system that's grown up over the years, you find that when you get under the covers, no matter whose ERP system it is it's often Band-Aids. Or chicken wire and bubble gum might be a better way of saying it, of the way information is moved out of one subsystem into another. Because when these were originally architected, there wasn't really a defined concept of SOA or a service-oriented architecture with clear delineations of services, with clear agreements between the processes. So this is the kind of challenge that we face now, is going back and putting those kind of interfaces between our systems and, of course, modularizing our systems into services. It's certainly challenging.
Absolutely. Well, you know, so here at Spark, we're kind of thinking about the future and Web 2.0 and software as a service. Where is all this taking us? So why is a chief architect from an ERP company, you know, why are you here?
Very, very interesting, very good question. And first of all, I took a little bit of offense in the room. Whenever ERP came up, you know, the word monolithic was always used right next to it.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, ERP systems need to be agile to survive today. And I think that's part of the reason that I'm here. You know, in ERP, we don't typically deal with people to people. We deal with business to business, you know, people, business to consumer, but not people to people. But yet there's so much driving from a technological perspective. People to people is driving so much innovation that as an ERP vendor, if we don't take cognizance of what's going on out in that space and figure out how to bring that in and, of course, capitalize and commercialize on it. I don't know if you know, but there aren't too many open source ERP systems out there.
No.
It's a very commercial business.
Yeah.
And it's been fascinating for me to listen to all the Web 2.0 conversations, and we've come back in just about every single conversation with how do you monetize that? How do you make money off that? So from my perspective, we're already making money. What we have to figure out now is how to use some of the cool technologies to involve a much larger community with what we're doing.
Well, and it seems like one of the trends we're seeing here is that if we're out to make $1 million, instead of making $1 million in one or two very large transactions, we're going to make $1 million a penny at a time in Web 2.0, you know? So on the one hand, that ought to be good for somebody like ERP, and you know, because imagine the all the data that's going to pile up. You know, trying to track all of this stuff is got to be incredibly difficult. Do you think that's going to change the way that people think about ERP in the future?
Well, you just brought up an interesting concept. There's two sides to ERP. One side to ERP might actually be managing the business of Web 2.0 and managing the buildings and the complex relationships of the billings and how does the revenue flow through. You'll need some systems to manage that, and different ERP systems have different verticals, and it might be very interesting as a vendor to focus on that as a vertical to deliver the management. So that's one side of the coin. But the whole other side of the coin is to leverage the technologies that are coming out of the Web 2.0 space and inculcate it into our standard commercial delivery of products, but to use these or to do these products in new ways. So there's kind of two different sides of the coin from an ERP vendor's perspective.
Yeah, so now the other interesting thing that we've been talking about is the concept of software as a service. And, I used to work for an ERP vendor in the late 90s, that one that didn't do so hot. It was just my observation of looking at when I first came into the enterprise software market about 97, I was kind of surprised to see that basically the idea was we'd build a solution that got you about 60 to 80% of the way towards what you needed. And then when the customer bought it, then that we'd send some very high-priced consultants in to finish the rest of it, you know? And it would take 2 or 3 years and big, massive projects. And there were some guys that made tons and tons of money doing that last 20%. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I never got on that train. I should have. But anyway, I never did. But now this world is kind of changing to where we're saying, I think the driver behind that was that the vendor, the enterprise software vendor could not build a solution that was at the same time generic, that it met a lot of customer needs, but that it was also specific enough to hit the niche of each particular customer. But now it seems like there's this new thing evolving where we'll build a fairly generic platform, and then we'll make it serviceable, if that's a way to think about it. Maybe we'll expose this as a set of services so that others can fill the niche and make a lot of money in their niche, but we're the big platform. Like, is that making any sense?
Yeah, it does, and some vendors are kind of taking that approach, but there's two different ways to look at that. If you try to be all things to all people, then you better have a platform that the whole world can come and adopt and fill the gaps. Because if you're really going to be a mega suite, to still deliver the specific vertical functionality, it's very difficult to deliver that in all verticals. Our company, QAD, we only focus on a handful of verticals. You know, automotive is one of our largest, medical, industrial, electrical. consumer goods. You know, these are the verticals. So if we specifically focus in that vertical, we can go much wider and much deeper within that specific vertical. Having said that, we do, from an architecture perspective and a SOA perspective, first of all, we want to offer a core set of services into that vertical. So if you're a medical device manufacturer, one of our verticals, you'd be able to take our product, implement it, and run your business without there being huge gaps, because we'd obviously like to keep the largest ownership of the customer. But we also appreciate that even within our verticals, we can't do everything. Not only that, perhaps we shouldn't do everything. What we have to do is really define, from our services perspective, the interface points so that we make it easy for companies to have value add to come in on top of what we offer.
So I guess then there are some verticals that maybe you don't do so well that you're looking for other companies to come and take your core and kind of build on top of it, and they can address those verticals?
Well, I think that some of the other application vendors that we compete with more have that problem than we do. Microsoft's business model, for example, around Xapta is very much like that. You know, they do the core, but there's large gaps in what they offer, but, you know, third parties come in with that specific, you know, gap fill, and it becomes a critical component in the sale. You know, we, for the verticals we do, try to go very deep and very specific. You know, we don't have in the market, for example, the platform that an SAP would, from a NetWeaver perspective, to kind of coax developers to come in and develop on that stack. But at the same token, SAP has to deliver that because they're in so many markets, they can't penetrate as deep as we do within the verticals that we pick.
So do you think that, looking out into the future, that one day I might, if I were in manufacturing, maybe get part of my ERP solution from you guys and part of it from some other vendor and part of it from somebody else and just kind of pull all these services together? Is that a practical vision of the future?
I think that's actually happening right now, but it's happening at great expense to the corporations that use the systems. Our system might be just absolutely pristine for the plant floor, the best in lean manufacturing, but another company may want something from SAP in another area that we don't have. So what we're as vendors forcing them to do is to do those integrations as a one-off in a very expensive manner. The whole concept of an easy mashup from an ERP perspective, that's not there yet, but I think it has to go there in order for all the vendors to deliver the value that we need to our customers. It's only a matter of time that we're going to facilitate that and make it easier.
Well, what's it going to take to see that kind of mashup ecosystem emerge? I mean, well, it seems like you'd have to have some kind of agreement about standards and the way we're going to do stuff. That's what it took for the web services stack to get compatible.
There has to be some kind of agreement with standards. And, obviously in the least common denominator, you know, we all agree that XML is the way to go. But then, you know, there's nothing standard about XML, and the taxonomies are so different. And so there's still a tremendous amount of mapping that has to be done. And Beeple, as it's emerging, is still, you know, a very new technology without real standards. And that's something that we're looking at very closely, because the idea is to manage a business process from end to end and to be able to call different components of that business process, say quote to cash, for example, different components of that business process from different vendors. And we really haven't done the work to neutralize and define all the connection points of that business process. What's going to drive us to do that? I believe our customers are going to demand that they don't have to do the integration work themselves. You know, best of breed as a concept has been a great concept, but ultimately, best of breed is very expensive because you can't easily integrate these solutions. That's kind of why people like to go to one ERP vendor for everything wall to wall. But, you know, to get everything from one vendor, you also tend to lose your leverage, you lose your choices. You know, the one vendor may not have a piece of the application that's best of breed, and you're going to be stuck with it. So I think our customer base is going to force us to do that.
Yeah, but here's the hard thing about this, right, is that if we get to a point where, you know, I can do financials with you guys or with somebody else or, you know, and it's roughly the same, and it's going to be really hard to differentiate from your competition. I mean, you would get to the point of, oh, we're better because we're faster or we cost less, you know, and those are kind of really not great differentiators, right? You want to have something that's really going to set you apart from the competition, which is an interesting question about where this is all going to take us and how do you differentiate when you're just a service?
And not only how you differentiate, but how you market that differentiation. Now, you know, there's some things like take payroll, and no offense to anybody out there that writes payroll applications. You know, but there's some things like that, you know, as long as you have the standard tax tables right, and you do the deductions correctly, it's arguable that, you know, one payroll system is like another payroll system. And the entire scope of ERP couldn't be commoditized. Not the entire scope. There's parts of it that would be very easily to be commoditized. You know, for example, a general ledger. There's not tremendous global innovation in how to do a general ledger.
It's pretty okay. Static, yeah.
It's pretty static. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, core manufacturing techniques. How to apply lean manufacturing most effectively across an entire supply chain when parts of that supply chain may not have lean processes in place. And how do you really marry suppliers to manufacturers in effective manners? I mean, these are things that are very specific in the verticals. And to me, the only way you can stay out of a commodity when it comes to a service is just have winning content. And the winning content might be the cutting-edge business process that improves inventory turns or derive some other business value better than the next guy.
That's really interesting. So what we've got to do is focus on not just delivering a service effectively and reliably with good performance, but we've got to deliver added business value by really understanding the vertical we're addressing and the best techniques and those sorts of things. That's what's going to differentiate us.
That's what's going to totally differentiate, because when you take scalability, performance, you know, then you've got to turn around and think, well, is the network going to be the platform, and are the telcos going to deliver this for us in the first place, so that as large-scale enterprise vendors, we don't even have to pay attention to that. Now, that's not the way it is today, but project 5 years out. You know, where are the different telcos going to want to go to differentiate themselves? And as a vendor, I want to leverage everything I can so that I can focus our internal R&D efforts not on infrastructure that I can get from other players, but on that specific vertical value that drives the ultimate ROI when you use my system.
Ah, okay. See, now we're starting to make some sense here. I think some bells are going off. Now, here's the interesting thing. Let's think about some of the Web 2.0 concepts that this whole Spark event has been really intriguing to me because, you know, some of the guys I've been talking to in there go, there's nothing new here. I've heard all this before. But for me, this is like first time to hear a lot of this. So pardon me if I'm marveling too much. But, you know, the idea of sort of unlocking information kind of opening the doors and opening up so that a lot of people can get their hands into it seems really interesting. Like a wiki is a good example of this, right? So instead of going to an expert and saying, write this paper and we'll give it to an editor and they'll go to a publisher and this whole long process, and at the end we end up with a document that may or may not be any better than a document that might have been assembled by, you know, 500 volunteers who each put a little bit of themselves into it, and did it for free. Right.
Yep, yep.
Now, I'm wondering, is there any application of that into this kind of stodgy world of ERP that we're talking about? And I hate to characterize it that way, but, you know, like maybe the guy on the shop floor has some great ideas about how this lean manufacturing could be done, but he can't get his ideas into the system because it's been so top-down, lockdown driven. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Well, you know, you actually brought up a couple of interesting concepts with what you said. You know, first and foremost, you know, the data is the most precious thing to a company, their data. But in a common ERP scenario today, you have to share that data with suppliers and with customers. So you have continuous relationships both up and downstream from you. And the supply chains are very complex. You know, they're multi-level and they're global. So what you have to do is create trust relationships throughout each individual or corporation in your supply chain, and then manage that trust and manage those relationships. And you know, Web 2.0, you know, one of the things we've been talking a lot about in Spark is how do you manage those relationships when it's, you know, global, people to people, nobody you've ever touched before. So that's one part of this. I mean, how does an ERP vendor like us facilitate our customers doing business in a way they've never thought about doing before? And are our systems open enough to allow them to have a business relationship that we've never envisioned? And what technologies can we leverage from the people-to-people side of the house? Part of what's a little frightening, frankly, is, you know, the data is the life of the corporation. And you go on something like MySpace and you post your data and you set your friends network, but, you know, ultimately it's available to all. But, you know, there's a lot of trust issues that have to happen in the ERP space. The other side of the coin, which you just said, is innovation from the plant floor up. You know, that innovation and getting any new feature in an ERP system. You know, I loved some of the conversations here. Somebody had a great idea. They wrote the program in 20 minutes. They put it on the web, and 500,000 people downloaded it. You know, just unbelievable. You know, we write 20 minutes worth of code. It takes, again, you know, 20 hours to productionalize it, and that's just a ratio to give you an idea. And then because we know that it's going to have to run all over the world with quality, if our code goes down, you know, Ford can't ship cars or something to that effect. So, you know, innovation can be a little bit slower in the space because there's such a quality drive, and the consequences of an idea not being fully tested, fully meshed with every other part of the system can have such adverse effects. We've got to figure out how to do a much better job, how to be much more agile in everything that we do, so that, you know, an innovation from the shop floor, as you said, on one plant can globally hit all of our customers within, you know, a month, you know, the phenomena of the web. And you know, that kind of process, that's pretty revolutionary for our industry. It's just not there yet.
So, you know, one of the interesting things that I think has kind of driven Web 2.0 a little bit was RSS and XML together. And here's the thing, is that this whole notion of kind of syndication of information and having it surface in a lot of different places, I think there's something that I can't quite pin down what it would be, but there's probably some really useful way that, because as an ERP system, you're sort of holding all this information. Have you thought about, would RSS and this whole syndication idea be useful in your world?
We're actually looking into RSS right now, looking into using RSS for internal publish and subscribe type systems, using RSS in some ways to communicate interests between workflows. We're certainly looking at RSS internally at the moment from an external view to other vendors or suppliers, in the supply chain up or downstream. We haven't really considered RSS at the moment for that. We're still more on the API level. We don't really, the whole WS Star and web services with the security aspect, we're really not there yet either. But, you're right. I mean, RSS should have, a solid place in the future for this kind of thing. I don't think it's just worked out yet. We don't really, as an industry, know how to do that yet.
Well, when you think about it, as you look back and you see how B2B was most often done in the past, and still actually quite frequently done this way, it's with file drops.
Mm-hmm.
And RSS is nothing more than that, really. I mean, it's just here's something that it's out there. And, somebody else who needs to know that can now come along and pick it up at their convenience. And it seems like, especially when you're crossing organizational boundaries, there's a lot of value in that because of its very async nature, that I could just drop it out there. Maybe if I'm a supplier and let's say you ordered some supplies from me, right? And so as it's moving through my manufacturing process, I could just have a feed which would allow you to say, hey, what happened to order XYZ? And I might even proactively deposit a little XML out for you that kind of as it passes through certain checkpoints in my system. So at any given time, you could just get it. Rather than giving you an API which says, here's this web service, call it when you want to know. Because then when you do that, maybe the performance becomes super critical or whatever. I don't know. But it seems like it's a trade-off, right? But it's an interesting thought about how this could move forward.
But, I agree with you. There's something there, and there's something we need to think about. One thing that we have to do, which RSS just generically doesn't give you, is, for the suppliers, customers, whether you're going up or downstream and you have an interest in this knowledge, most of our customers are expecting a presentation layer to that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if it's something like inventory, they're expecting green if it's all okay, yellow if there's a slight problem, and red if we're not going to hit a delivery date. So, RSS, as it goes, of course, doesn't have the whole visualization. We could use it as the transport kind of, pub-sub kind of mechanism. I mean, it could be used for that. You make an interesting point, but the other part of it is commercialization. We track and charge for these kind of services, and there's also a very trusted relationship between these services. And you're right. I mean, maybe we'll talk a year from now and I'll turn around and tell you that, we've based all the future stuff we've done in this space around RSS, but it's just not what we're doing today.
Oh, we're out of time, but
wow,
some interesting thoughts there. Oh, did I say interesting again? Dude, I have got to tone that down, Okay, because anyway, I say it way too much, but I couldn't help but thinking about crazy ideas with this collection of vast information that's sort of locked inside an ERP system for people who know how to unlock it, who know how to use it and get the information out. But, I think in the future, the Web 2.0 says No, I want the information on my terms, in my way. I don't want to have to be some member of a special group that knows how to unlock it. Wow, what will this mean for big enterprise software? I wonder. Anyway, we have more thoughts on this next time when we finish the conversation with Paul Knopf here on ArtCast.